Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and happy Father's Day to you. This is week two of our Fruit of the Spirit series and also coinciding with Father's Day. So we'll make sure we cover some fruit of the Spirit and how it applies, but regardless of where you're at in your life's journey, it doesn't matter if you're a dad or not. With Father's Day, up comes all these kind of dad-related things, like, it's a dad joke. Well, a dad joke means it's kind of like corny and people half-heartedly discourage you. It's a dad joke, or a dad bod. It's like, oh, he's a little chunky. He's given up on life. That's a dad bod. You're like, oh, great. All these dad things are so awesome. How come we don't talk about mom bod? How come that's not a thing? Maybe this morning we should talk about mom bod. What do you think? I'll probably avoid it because I enjoy living and want to get out of here alive. So we won't talk necessarily about mom bod, but interesting little bits of information that do come up. Within the first few years of a couple being married, each one will, on average, put on 5 to 10 pounds. And by 5 years, that number has increased to 15 to 30 pounds after 5 years for each person, which I was like, oh man, that's crazy. This could be why dad bod is a thing. A married man has triple the risk of obesity. And so a dad bod is real, but it hits everybody in and different. You know, they say that a single woman, she comes home, looks in the fridge, and then goes to bed. But a married woman comes home, looks in the bed, and then goes to the fridge. And so maybe this explains some of the differences of weight and journey in married. But it doesn't matter whether you're in married or not for today's message, or even whether you're a dude. I have like lots of single friends. I was watching it on the movies recently. And single people get a really challenging rap. Like this one show in particular is a group of guys. They're like, okay, there's a bomb in the tunnel. We're gonna need someone to head in there and defuse the bomb. No, I'm married. My wife would miss me. So, you know, Frank's got a couple of kids. So, probably not Frank. Tom. Tom, no one's going to miss you. So how about you get into that tunnel and defuse the bomb? You're like, oh. Tom's like, I have like friends. I have a family and siblings and parents and active member of society with dreams and goals. Don't necessarily just toss me into the tunnel because I'm not married or I don't have kids or the fantastic movie. They're trapped underwater, this group of ladies. It's like, we need someone to swim out. I know the water is infested with sharks. I need someone to swim out, open up the airlock from the other side. Swim out, open the airlock. I've got a husband. He needs me. It would be terrible. And Jane, you've got some children. So we don't want them growing up without a mom. And Carol, we need a volunteer. If you can think of any reason whatsoever, anyone who would like to volunteer, Carol, to swim out with the sharks and open up the airlock from the outside. Carol's like, I'm 20. Like I have like dreams. I'm just starting out in life. I haven't found someone yet. It's like, stop being selfish, Carol. Put on your swimsuit. Get out there in the shark waters. Very challenging on our singles, but it's whether you're single, it's not important for today's message. Married man, woman, kids, no kids. There's something in it for everybody today, though we do celebrate this on Father's Day. So with all that in mind, let's get into some fruit of the Spirit week two. Now, this comes from a little bit here in Galatians 5, 22 to 23 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll be talking about the forbearance, kindness, goodness today. The King James Version, that was NIV, but the King James says it, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. The English Standard Version says patience, kindness, goodness. The premise is that as the Holy Spirit in and fills your life and dwells in, that you're like a tree that bears fruit, and we should be able to see that fruit, that the evidence of that Holy Spirit in and working in your life by the fruit that you bear. A couple weekends ago, I had a chance to go away for a few days with my beautiful wife. We were heading to Kelowna to visit some friends, and we went via Carameas. Carameas is a fantastic orchard community, just tons of fruit everywhere. And heading in through the Okanagan, vineyards, orchards, so beautiful. And as you're driving through, you're like, oh man, look at that tree. Like, what kind of tree is it? You're like, well, there's cherries all over it. It's probably a cherry tree. You can tell immediately what the tree is. There's apricot trees, there's peach trees, all these beautiful stone fruit trees. And you can just tell what it is from the outside. You don't have to get up and inspect it too carefully. Look, there's cherries on it. It's a cherry tree. You can tell what a tree is by the fruit that it bears. Being able to see the fruit is what the Holy Spirit does within you as he works in and through your life. It starts to come out of your pores. It starts to come out of your being. People just see it because that action has already occurred on the inside of you. Now, there's some kind of like definitions on these three words that I want to go through. Patience, often translated as forbearance or long-suffering. This is the ability to endure difficult circumstances, delays, or provocations without lashing out. It is about maintaining inner peace and a gentle spirit while waiting or dealing with adversity. Patience. Kindness. This is the active expression of grace and tender heartedness towards others. It involves treating people with gentleness, respect, and practical helpfulness, often when they do not expect or even deserve it. And finally, goodness. It's closely related to kindness. This virtue is about moral excellence and integrity. It means choosing to do what is right and beneficial for others, acting out of a pure and upright heart. Well, it's one thing for me to tell you about these, but the only way I can really like wrap my brain around it or visually pull it together is just by sharing some stories of my own journey and in trying to develop these fruit. Do I have success in all of this? No, I'm along the ride, just like everybody else. I'm working on it, the Holy Spirit's working in me. And so as these things come out, be gracious, it is what it is. Let's work through these in reverse order, beginning with goodness. It was winter, January 2008. I was out with my buddy Tony, and we said, let's take our oldest sons out camping in the middle of winter. We packed up the trailer, and there's like feet of snow, and we're forging through in our van. Snow's flying everywhere. We're having a great time till finally we get to this lake, and we get to the lake, and we're just being maniacs, and we're running around on the ice, and kids are out doing their thing. We're sliding around. Comes time to leave and get stuck, and we're, you know, pulling on the trailer and trying to get the chains in properly so we can get some traction. Somewhere in all of this process of jumping on the lake and getting chains on tires, I janked out my back. I was a mess. I couldn't walk. I was hobbling around on all fours in order to move myself around. I come home looking for a little sympathy, only to find my lovely wife. She is sick as a dog. She's had three kids for the last couple days, and she is ill, like fever, the sweating, like she's a hot mess. And during this time, it was when our youngest was still a baby. And so she's like, I'm just so ill. I'm literally crawling around the house in order to do things. He says, I'm so sick, but I've got to feed Max. Can you get him for me? I'm like, yep, I got this. And so I'm army crawling with a baby, hands and knees. Like, what is the right thing to do? I'm not well, but she's more not well. What is goodness look like? What is goodness look like doing what you think is the right thing? You're like I'm a mess, honey. I can't lift anything. Never mind, like our new baby. Well, she's ill. I'm army crawling, so I've got the baby in my arms, like army crawling across the floor. Like, Jesus, take my life. Like, Lord, help me out of this. I feel it's just one of those, like, just such a moment of desperation. And you're like, what is the right thing to do, even when you don't feel like it? And I'm reminded of the words of Colossians. I'm not doing it even for the baby. I'm not even doing it for my wife. But somewhere in there, I'm also doing it for the Lord. Trying to do the right thing when eyes are on you or eyes are not on you, to do the right thing and do the good act. This is a Holy Spirit fruit. It's hard to, until you've been in a moment where you've had to balance, like, I don't want to do goodness with, like, I have to do goodness. Colossians says it this way: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Colossians 3, 23, 24. Doing good isn't about you. It's kind of taking your eyes off of you. And this is going to be a real challenge when a lot of our lives are spent with our eyes on ourselves. You're like, I don't want to do that. I have no interest in doing that. I just want to, whatever your particular circumstances, I just want to shirk away and not do good. Well, buckle up, buttercup. And repeat after me, buckle up, buttercup. I want to make sure that my feelings don't run me. Well, then you're not being authentic. If you don't feel like, you shouldn't have to do what you don't feel like. I don't know. If you want to grow in the Holy Spirit, have that fruit in your life, whether it's as a dad or a human being, just as a Christian, however you want to work it, I need to settle into the idea that I could care less what I feel like doing. My feelings will run away with me, and goodness gets left in the dust. You gotta push yourself. You gotta settle into the Lord and grow in this area. Is it easy? No. Is it a massive challenge? Yes. May it take a lifetime to learn? Absolutely. But the goal is the goal, and it's worth it. It segues us into kindness, which they work together. As a dad, how do I show the fruits of the Spirit as a dad? Well, kindness is a big one, and the Bible has some things to say about us, particularly as dads, because we mess up on this one, because it takes great wisdom, and we don't always handle it well. Kindness. Fathers, it says here in Ephesians 6 and 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's NIV. The English Standard says it this way: fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Do not provoke your children to anger. My classic dad lines, my kids loathe it, is, what have you tried? They asked me to do something. I'm like, what did you try? Because there's nothing that sets me off when someone hasn't tried, hasn't investigated. They've lost that inquisitive spirit. I didn't try anything. Well, I guess it didn't fall into your outstretched hand. I guess it's not important then. You're like, what did you try? Kindness requires a wisdom to not push that line too far when a kid is genuinely struggling. I think there is room for pushing. And perhaps, I don't know if this is a or a dad-specific thing. But there is some, like, come on, let's make this, let's get you out of the nest quality. And kindness is a big part of it, but not to the point of pushing your children over the edge. Exasperating them, provoking them to anger. These are the things that we avoid while still trying to train, discipline. Come on, you can do it. I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know either. But we can figure this out. You know how to do it. Yeah, I do know how to do it. But you also need to do it. I've showed you. Now it's your chance to do it. But I don't do it as good as you. Well, I guess your first version is going to be terrible, and then we'll grow from there. But you got to start somewhere. And this is part of that cycle. Kindness. How to be kind. Story pops up in Luke 10 with the Good Samaritan. It says a man was beaten up by robbers. He's on the street all beat up and bloodied. And a priest comes by, walks down, crosses around him, goes on the other side of the street and keeps on going. You're like, oh, that priest sucks. Next comes a Levite. Comes along. It sounds like it's the beginning of a joke. It's a Bible story. Levite comes along, sees the man, crosses the street, keeps on his way. It's like, this guy's terrible. And then the Good Samaritan comes by, gets him all bandaged up, taken to a place, get his wounds taken care of, pays for things. And you're left with, who is this person's neighbor? Well, there's the Vince McLaren version, which has Vince McLaren walked up to the man and said, hey, are you okay? And the guy's like, no, I can't get up. I'm messed up. Well, what did you try? Did you try and get up? I've been stabbed. Well, you might need to walk it off because there's no one here to help you. So we're going to have to work on this together, get you up and out. But you're going to have to try something. Because there's this wisdom that comes along. Let me tell you the rest of this fake Vince McLaren story. And he gets bandaged up, and we get him in. We get him taken care of and fed, and bills paid. Everything's good. And then a month into it, it's like, you're looking in pretty good shape. You ready to get back to it? Yeah, you know, I still got a little pain in my elbow. You know, maybe if I could just have a few more days. You're like, oh, cool. Okay, we'll be kind. We'll give you a few more days. Yeah. Week later, you're ready to get back out there and your wounds have all healed up and you're ready to get back, take on the world again. Well, you know, just maybe if I had another month, you know, it's pretty nice here and it is nice being taken care of and I really would benefit from this. Maybe if you just gave me another month. And then your wisdom kicks in where kindness has flipped into enabling. And this is also a challenge, particularly in our culture. If I just wait it long enough, someone will fix this for me. And where this line of being kind and being taken advantage of requires wisdom. I think that there's a divine, Lord, give me knowledge about this situation that has to happen with kindness. Is it always easy? No. Sometimes learning requires, like, is it kindness up front or am I being kind down the road? I have this, one of my kids was working on, I think it was grade 11 physics, grade 10, 11 physics assignment. They come to me at like the 11th hour. It's like 10 o'clock at night. Dad, I got this massive assignment due tomorrow. It's 10 o'clock at night. Yes, this, I know, I got doing other things, and now it's 10 o'clock at night, and it's about learning, you know, the color bands and resistance on these resistors and how many ohms it has based on, I don't know anything about that. Dad, I'm going to fail this thing if someone doesn't help me out. I guess I'm learning physics at 10 o'clock at night. And you're like, the motive is to try and be kind. And I come along in kindness. And I don't know. I know where the story ends. The story ends at like 2 or 3 a.m. Me having learned, you know, this part of physics and electrical resistance. and then teaching it out to my kid, and then working on this assignment, wishing the whole time I was sleeping. Is kind helping him up front, or is kind saying, well, guess you're going to fail this one. Try harder next time. The verdict is out, and that's where the wisdom comes in. Because I'm not convinced that the kind thing, you're like, oh, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to jump in there with you at the 11th hour when you've messed things up. Is that kind, or do you just teach that if I put things off long enough, someone will come to the rescue? And sometimes you just have to face the piper, because that just seems the way that the real world works. So the verdict is out on where wisdom, if I applied wisdom correctly in this issue of kindness. What to do with, because I want to have the Holy Spirit working in me. I want to bear these fruit. I want to have kindness, goodness, patience flowing out of me. But I don't always know how it's going to play out. And so that's where I need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in order to discern what's going on in any given situation. But which side should I lean towards? Should I lean to over-kindness or... Here's a question for you. Let's play a quick game. A little quick game of would you rather. Would you rather be a person who does good things, but they don't want to? Or would you rather be a person who wants to do good things and doesn't? It's an interesting question. Let me modify it a little bit. If you're stuck on the highway late at night because you've blown out a tire and you don't have the correct things to fix it up, would you rather someone wanted to, or didn't want to do it but stopped? Or would you rather someone wanted to do it but didn't stop? Becomes much more obvious as there's a guy driving down the street. Good luck fixing your tire. I really want to help you, but I don't. Or the person who's like, oh man, I'm supposed to be heading to the whatever, but it looks like you need a hand, so stop to help you out. I will take begrudging help versus someone who's like, I really wanted to do it. My intention was to stop and help you, but I didn't. And so this is part of the wisdom in your growth with the Holy Spirit fruit in your life. The would you rather? Well, of course, we want someone to do something. James says it this way in James 2, verses 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. My faith will spill out of me into action. And this is fruit of the Spirit. That what has gone on the inside of me comes out in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there are no law. The fruit of the Spirit requires me to show you what's going on the inside. The ideal scenario is that I want to do it, and I do it. And I think we get there by the doing it. And my feelings come along for the ride until the want and the do start to line up. I don't feel like that. Well, don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to buckle up, buttercup. This is just the way. This is the way. Finally, let's finish it off with patience. Remember in teaching my kids how to drive, this was not my finest hours of parenting. This is kind of all the bad things all rolled into one. With each of them, of course, they're learning to drive, and you're trying to impress upon them the severity of their choices. This is a big deal. This is not a time to mess around. if something goes off the rails, your life and the people who are in your car, like, they will suffer the consequences. So, of course, I'm trying to impress this upon him, but I think I went a little too far on some occasions. I've got into it with each of my kids, each of them in this area. I remember at one point, one of my daughters, I just got her so frustrated. I was not patient with her. I was sharp with my words, and it all went off the rails. And finally, she just got out of the car and walked home. I'm like, that didn't go well. I was not being patient there. My bad. I remember with my other daughter, it was like a situation, and it was, you know, we're backing out into traffic or something, and it's going not as good as it could. I'm like, whoa, stop! You're going to get us killed! I put just such that fear. She's crying, and I said these immortal words, honey, I am immune to your tears. What a terrible dad. What a terrible thing to say. That's not being patient. I can tell you that the fruit was not fruiting that day. We were having a challenging day. My goal was to keep her safe, but I didn't do it in a patient way. I didn't do it in a kind way. I didn't do it in a good way. And these things pop up in your journey, whatever it is, it would be different for you. Do you think that the Lord is immune to your tears? Do you think he's up in heaven saying, I'm immune to your tears. I know you're suffering right now, but I'm immune to your tears. You're going to get us all killed. Well, of course not. The Lord probably collects tears into little God vials and stores them away and numbers them all. And this is how he deals with us. The scripture says it this way. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Lord is patient with me. Someone said, patience is just what you have when there are too many witnesses. We're trying. We're working it out in these areas. And with all of these, I'll conclude with this. Be very mindful. I say this with caution. Be very mindful about your growth in the fruit of the Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit in and working inside you. But this is what it means. You will be in situations where those fruit can have the opportunity to grow. Am I saying that okay? You understand what I'm saying by that? I'll try and word it a different way. You want to learn goodness, you will be in situations that require your goodness to grow. You want patience, you will be put in situations that cause your patience to grow. And so being mindful about, Holy Spirit, I want you to infill every area of my life and work in me and transform me. But just be mindful that it is not a fun, easy process all the time. Having your kindness, goodness, patience tested, proven, so that you can grow in them is a challenge. And we need to be transformed. Would you pray with me as we conclude? Father, we just thank you for this gift out of Galatians, encouraging us that as we get closer to you, as we understand you more, as you infill our lives, that we see growth, we see transformation, we see fruit. Lord, and we want to be fruitful people. Father, we just ask that these situations that we're in transform us, Lord. Help us reflect you. Help us reflect the likeness of Jesus. Fill us a little bit every day. Transform us a little bit every day, that we would just be a little bit more like Jesus. Father, for all of these things, we commit ourselves to you wherever we're at in the journey. Man, woman, married, not married, kids, no kids. Wherever we're at in our journey, transform us. Fill us, Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Father's Day, everyone.